Welcome to this Tuesday's Dag Heward Mills podcast. Dag Heward Mills podcast is a broadcast outreach of Dag Heward Mills Ministries, which has the duty to bring you the very best from the vast teaching archive of healing evangelist, best-selling author, and megachurch pastor, Dag Heward Mills. You are about to tune into a message from the Flow Revival Service. Successful ministry requires skill, experience, and maturity. Today, Bishop Dag will teach you 8 purification steps a novice must go through and be refined in order to be used by God effectively. A novice must first be proved and needs to be tried and tested. It is only failure that rids you of certain attitudes that are not compatible with ministry. God's qualifications require that you survive various tests and trials throughout your life. In today's message, prepare to be humbled and purged of pride. God is helping you to amount to much more in ministry as you receive the word. Be blessed.
Father, thank you for the kindness shown to us in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. You have a seat. Tonight, I am sharing with you on the theme, Not a Novice, part number 3. Today is the purification of a novice. The purification of a novice. What do you think? Good idea? Now, what do I mean by the purification of a novice? 1 Timothy chapter 3. Remember, a novice is somebody who is new to the circumstances. Okay? It means it's somebody who has been doing a job or an activity for only a short time and so is not experienced. Okay? Is a newly imported slave. And a novice is a recently entered into a condition. And then a novice is a recent discovery, fashionable, from the word novus, nouveau, new, novice, newness. All right? Beautiful. Now, 1 Timothy 3, verse 6. Not a novice, lest he, being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. So novices, in their newness and their immaturity, tend to fall into the condemnation of the devil. Verse 7. Moreover, he must have a good report of them that are without, lest he fall into the reproach and the snare of the devil. Now you can see these conditions which the apostle is giving are sometimes, you know, you can see that they are open to interpretation right from the beginning. If a man desire, he's a good thing. He must be blameless, a husband of one wife, not given to wine. A lot of pastors drink wine, not a striker, not greedy of money. A lot of pastors are greedy of money, or have money, patience. A lot of pastors are not patient, not a brawler, not covetous. Covetous is a subject to interpretation because it's hidden. If you are covetous, you can't see covetousness written on somebody's shirt. Do you get it? One that ruleth his own house well. A lot of pastors don't rule their houses well. Some are too kind. Some are too strict. Having his children in subjection with all gravity. A lot of pastors have children that are not in subjection to whatever. All right? For if a man know not how to rule his house, how shall he take care of the church of God? I'm saying that all these, including being the husband of one wife, are on that category of things that can be subjected to interpretation. Yes. Just want you to see the list into which it is falling. All right? So when we take certain things as like eternal laws, you see, we should realize that in that case, we have to take everything in that text as fixated laws, which when broken mean the end of the world, as it were. Do you understand me?
Yeah.
Are you guys awake here?
Yeah.
All right. Glory to God. Are there people out there watching us? Is there anybody out there at all? Are there people alive? Okay. Because if you are not there, I also go to bed. I want to find out if there's anybody there. Glory to God. Okay. Yeah, I see there's people. Okay. Because I can check on my iPad too to see whether you are there. It's a new day. Now, back to the Bible. Not a novice. Lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. I'm just saying that all these lists of things that Paul was talking about when he wanted to appoint pastors or bishops, they are good advice that really are important for the work of God. But you'll notice many of them are not fulfilled by many people. All right? And we still accept them as pastors. Many pastors are not sober. All right? Beautiful. Now, likewise, the deacons must be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy or filthy look. Now, some people have a problem with drinking. Now, if you've been drinking your parents' whiskey at home, stop it. Holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. Verse 10, let these also first be proved. Then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Amen. So right here, you see that a novice must first be proved. Okay? You must be proved. And in every profession, okay, you find that people are not just let out there to just do whatever they want to do. When you become a doctor, even though you pass the exams, you are not just let out there and let loose on the people. You are a killer. You need to be supervised before you kill a whole lot of people with your immature medicine. All right? So that is why there's something called housemanship. And so they let you work under somebody. When I was working as a house officer, I remember my boss told me, do you know that, you got to be signed out? She asked me, do you know that? She was just checking to find out whether I knew and whether I was aware that I need to be signed out as a doctor, and that if I didn't behave well and work well, I wouldn't be signed out. So she asked me, do you know? I was shaking like a leaf. Because you see, you are not just let loose on the people. You work under supervision. And even a judge. You can't just get up and be a judge of people. Even though you are a lawyer. Because there are judges who are not lawyers. There are some judges who are not lawyers. But you become a lawyer, and then after you work for maybe 1.5 years or 2 years or something, you can apply to go to the bench. And then you become a judge. Now, you just can't look at people and say, hey, you look guilty. You know, go to prison for 10 years. I mean, it's not like that. You get it? You can't just say, this is the person who punished me when I was in school. So, I mean, you go to prison for 5 years. for not wearing a mask go for 8 years. You get it? So you realize that nobody is set loose without being tested. So they start, I think, to be a judge. I don't know what is the order, but I think you have to be a magistrate. And then magistrate, you go, the lower court is called what? Circuit Court. And then High Court in the UK, Crown Court. And then, what? Don't have lawyers here? Court of Appeal. And then what court? After appeal, Supreme Court. All right. We have a law student here. All right. So you find out, and then there is EU Court. Yes. So you find out that nobody is just set loose on people in any profession. You have to first be proved. And the same goes for the ministry. You need to be vetted, tested. All right? Now, since ministry is based on what God thinks, I have some information for you that God will arrange his own tests and proving experiences for you. All right? And so many things we experience are actually not really experiences that either you deserve or that you've brought upon yourself or that, I mean, are part of your destiny or God's purpose for your life, but are pure tests. That's what people don't realize. Many things are not, it's not like your destiny or this is like something that, I mean, was planned for you and, you know, this experience is like you are just cursed or a curse is happening. No. Many experiences are actually tests. They are actually things that God has intentionally allowed you to experience. When the Lord called Kenneth Hagin, he said to him, "You have seen how I have allowed you to go through certain things to teach you faith by experience and by the word." And that he was allowed to go through many tests. All right? So, otherwise, you remain an untested novice. Are you with me?
Yeah.
You remain an untested novice. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. "And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee." So to humble thee and to prove thee. To do what? To humble thee and to prove thee. So the things you were experiencing, they were to humble you and to prove you and to know what was in thine heart, whether you would keep his commandments or no. Are you there? So now he humbled thee, verse 3, and he suffered you, allowed you to hunger, and he fed you with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, but that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone. Amen. But by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. So you will remember all the way. So by the time you come to the end of your life and ministry, you'll find out looking back that he allowed you, he suffered thee in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2. The word suffer, please remember the King James language has changed. We don't use those words in that way. Do you understand me?
Yes, sir.
we use different words. When we say suffered thee, suffer it to be so, it means allow it to be so. Do you get it? So when we say suffer today, it means something different from when they said suffer. Sufferest thou this. You see, suffer the little ones to come. It's not a painfulness should enter the little ones as they come to me. No, it's allow. Okay? So he says, thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years to humble thee and to prove thee and to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. Now, by the time certain things have happened, we know who you are. You know, by the time you go to the wilderness, a new person, we know what you are made of. We know what you think. We know what you believe. We know what stuff you are made of. By the time you've gone through the wilderness, we'll know who you are. And sometimes, by the time you've done a test, 36%, you are not a doctor. Sorry. You do not qualify. By the time you go through some of the tests, you do not qualify because you failed. And so many, many experiences of our lives are really to test us and change us from being a novice to being a well-tested, hardened person who is well-experienced with God and with human beings. Are you listening to me? So, back to our text in 1 Timothy chapter number 3. It says, not a novice. Now, the main danger of an untested person is pride. This is the main danger of an untested person. An untested person is overconfident and usually is fixated on one thing. Do you understand? Let me give you an example. You know, one day I worked somewhere, there was a clinic, and everybody who came to the clinic, I mean, I'd never seen that before, was given a prescription. Now, before the people came, the prescription was already written. Are you listening? Yes. It was already written. Yes. It was chloroquine. It was ampicillin. It was multivite. It was B-complex. And one more thing. Paracetamol. Yes, paracetamol. Chloroquine, paracetamol, ampicillin, B-complex, and multivite. All right? And the doctor would just give to the patients, everybody, like that. Because there were no doctors in this village. And there were like 100 people, and he had to see. So even if you came with breast cancer, they would give you the same treatment. And I saw somebody with breast cancer being given this. What do you call it? Because they couldn't really do anything about the cases. All right? I mean, we are talking about a place where blood, that there are people standing outside and ask, what are these people? So they are selling blood. I said, what do you mean they are selling blood? This one is O positive. This one is O negative. This one is A positive. This one is B. This one is A. They are there walking blood bank because there is nowhere to keep the blood. So they are there in time of need. O positive. Take some and you pay. You pay them and then they give you blood. So we are talking about a level of whatever. Now, when you stay in such a hospital as a nurse and you are there as the doctor is giving out, you may get the impression that you can be a doctor. Yes. Do you see? You may get the impression that you can be a doctor. So, oh, you just give them whatever. But you see that you became overconfident too quickly. Because there's more to it. The person who is giving that medicine, he knows that, number one, fever in Ghana Do you see? What can it be? Malaria. Likely. So he's giving chloroquine. Otitis media, ear infection, sore throat, chest, pneumonia. What? Doctors. Urinary tract infection, typhoid. Ah. So, a novice is here shouting with diagnosis. And bodily pains, multivite to B complex to boost the appetite. Multivite helps with general, you know, immune system improvement and so on. So, it's like a cocktail that somehow it covers about 90%. And even the one I saw with the breast cancer, I tell you, you couldn't really do much about it, but she probably maybe had malaria. I don't know. But I was a student. I was just watching, you know. So you can easily get a wrong impression when you see the practice, you know. And also you can even criticize. Now, if you are sitting there and you are seeing 100 and 200 patients, you are the only person. Because if it takes even 10, 15 minutes to see one person, 1 hour is 4 people. 2 hours is 8 people. 3 hours is 12 people. 8 hours is 32 people. And we've got 100. Yeah. You've not thought about that, isn't it? Yes. So what you do? So, what doctor do? So you may not know that there are different ways to do things. So I'm just trying to say that in the ministry, when people come around, you see, oh, just open your Bible, preach, just read the verse and tell jokes. Do you see? And then it's preaching. Yes. And so you have, God then says, look, you don't understand what is going on. So you need to be tested, do you see, and purified of certain things. And so God will be looking out for certain qualifications that he really requires from you. Are you with me? Amen. Now, why does God do these tests? The first one is to humble you. A lot of things are just to humble you, like I just read. So number one, to humble you. Number two, to make you white and pure. Amen. So you are going to be purified, to purify pride out of you. Number two, purify you, to make you white and pure. Now, Daniel chapter 11, verse 33. They that understand among the people shall instruct many, and yet shall fall by the sword and by plane, by flame, by activity, by spoil, by many days. Now, when they shall fall, they shall be helped with a little help, but many shall cleave to them with flatteries. And some of them of understanding shall fail to try them, to purge, and to make them white, even to the time of the end, because it is yet for a time appointed. Amen. Amen. So you see in verse 35, some of them of understanding shall fail. Amen. Amen. And you see that it is to try them. Okay? Your failure is to try you. Amen. Amen. And to purge you. And to make you white, even to the time of the end. For it is yet for a time appointed. So, novices need to be tried. And sometimes failure happens to you to purge you and to make you white. To clear out certain sins and attitudes of you. Sometimes when you fall in once, it's difficult to fall in that same place. That is the essence of a vaccine. Vaccines are, they have a new technology now, but they take a little bit of the virus and then they work on it and then they inject it into you. So it causes a reaction in your blood. Do you see? And your blood produces immunoglobulins or antibodies against the virus, which it has detected by the little piece of the virus that they put into you. Not the full virus, but a small part that is recognizable by the blood. Do you understand?
Yeah.
When you have a boil, right, it means that antibodies and white blood cells and so on have recognized something in you, and they all gathered there to fight the entrance of that thorn, which they don't accept as a member. You get what I'm saying? Then they attack it, and that's why it forms a boil, which is like a mountain of enemies trying to fight something to go back. Go out of here. That's a boil. That's why it becomes big and swollen. You understand? It's all full of... And when you burst the boil and the pus comes out, that all that is dead white cells that fought in the battle and died. Yeah, they fought the battle and they died. They are all dead bodies of the soldiers of your blood, your blood soldiers. They died in the war and then they are all being taken out as casualties. You get what I'm saying? But they fought a valiant fight and they died in the midst of the battle. Are you there?
Yeah.
So that is how, that is the whole idea, is to make a little bit of it to prevent the real thing. So now when the real thing comes, you get it? It's like, hey, you know, and in the fight against that enemy, you sort of need certain strategies. You know, like for instance, if you are fighting, are you watching the fight?
Yeah.
If you are fighting like this, maybe you need to know how to fight with your leg. You see, there are some people who fight with their leg. They're different fighters. Some people fight like they are dancing. Like if you watch Transporter, it's like he's dancing or he's playing. Yeah. Some people really beat, like the man with the small hair at the back. Yeah, he beats with the head. He holds the head and just breaks things. Yes, he doesn't have a style. He just smashes things. You get it? And Jackie Chan and Co, they have, yes, and they have different ways of fighting. So certain fights, you need certain styles, depending on what it is. And that's why some of you have been failing, because you don't know how to fight something like that. Every problem has a solution. And every problem has something that is a master to it. When you watch wildlife, you realize that there is a master of every bad thing. The day I saw a puff adder, it met a bird called the secretary bird. And the secretary bird is not afraid of the viper. The viper is just his lunch. He just stamps like this. You can't bite him. He just moves like this. And they put the camera on the floor. So you see the secretary bird looks very angry. And he stamps on the snake. I mean, a very poisonous snake. And you see that he's running. And he catches it and stamps on it, stamping, then picks it and eats it. And you see other snakes eating other poisonous snakes like noodles. They swallow them. And they swallow. You see it going. I mean, I saw that everything has a master. Yes. So whatever problem you have, there is a master of that problem in the name of Jesus Christ. Only that maybe you haven't seen the strategy. Yes. You know, I don't know if you've seen this man who catches snakes on television. Have you seen him? There's a man who you call him and he comes to your house. And then he catches snakes on TV. I saw it on Snakes in the City. Yeah. You call him and he comes. And he's not afraid. He came to somebody and said, oh, there's a black mamba. And the black mamba was in the kitchen under the sink. And there was a small hole there. He said that it is by all means there. He'll go to somebody's house and it's like a workshop with tools, right? And he would remove everyone and he comes to a pipe, said that the snake will be in this pipe. Yes, he knows them. He knows them. It's everybody and their master. Now, a black mamba is one of the most dangerous snakes. Never go near. If somebody says that the black mamba has been found here, go in the other direction. I'll give you that advice. It's fast. And all snake experts, they have a special and proper respect for that particular snake because of the speed. It has been known to chase people. It runs faster than human beings, than a sprinter, a 100-meter sprinter. It's faster. It will come up and run. Everything has a master. The problem you have, it has a master. It has something that when you do, that thing will go away. Yes. Every problem has a master. So he says, in the last days, some of them of understanding shall fall. You see, so God somehow allows you to fall. You're talking too much. You see? Down. Why? To try them and then to purge. Do you see? Do you know purge? You know purge? Purge is a little violent. Like you'll be there, then suddenly something is coming. And then when you go to the toilet, it's not a normal visitation. It's like an explosive, violent exit. And so God will be doing that to cause a violent exit of certain things from your life. And without being purged, and without becoming white, there are certain jobs you cannot do for God. All right? So there are purgings that are going to take place to make you pure. Now, some of you came out of the world, or even you came to find it in the church. Wickedness and badness. You understand? And there are things that are not compatible with ministry. No matter what anybody says, they are not compatible with ministry. Even if a pastor or a bishop or anybody is doing certain things, they are not compatible. They don't go with it. But you see, people do that and continue preaching. So it gives you the message that this can go on with this. But it's not so. It's not so. You may steal, you may be committing fornication, committing adultery, committing whatever, and things will be working, and things seem to be working. But it doesn't mean that it's compatible, no matter who it is who is doing that. They don't go together. All right? So God wants to clear from our lives unwanted things. So every fall you have taken is a kind of immunization for a novice. Yes. Now, even with the coronavirus, you know, one doctor was telling me recently that they were all tested for antibodies. Antibodies mean that you have had it before. And he said, oh, I wish I had been tested positive. I wish I had been, because if you've tested, it means that you've had it and then it didn't have any effect on you. But when he was tested, he was negative. But some of the people there were positive. Do you get what I'm saying? Because what it means is that you've tested it before, but you didn't go down with it. Yes. Because in the end, a lot of people are going to have it. But as to the effect that it may have on you. So certain things, when you have experienced them, then that is the first and the last or the whatever, and it's not going to come again. Or even if it comes again, your reaction will be so some way that it wouldn't be able to stay at all. Are you with me? Yeah. So novices, they are very, very confident. Eh? So, oh, this one will not be any wiggle feet. This one, oh, I mean, Charlie, oh, yeah. Oh, we are going to the end of the world to do. End of the world? Okay. What about just normal Accra? And see whether you can make it right here. All right? Now, number three. Tests, purification of a novice. Is the first one is to make you humble. Number two, to purge you, to make you white. All right? Number three, purification is to remove impurities of the spirit. Amen. Impurities of the flesh and of the spirit. Now, but I want to just emphasize on impurities of the spirit. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves, amen, from all filthiness of the spirit and of the flesh, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Glory to God. Amen. Now, filthiness of the spirit. Let's talk out of the flesh. Everybody will be thinking of the same old flesh problems that we all have, isn't it? But let's talk about filthiness of the spirit. The spirit can be filthy. What is the spirit? The spirit is the heart, the inside, the unseen part. That is the serpent seed part. Do you see? So there are things in us that are invisible. Invisible. Even when you sin in that regard, you not even see yourself as sin is sinful. Because it's a filthiness of the spirit. With filthiness of the spirit, there's nothing to see that you've done. You just, filthiness of the flesh, you fornicated, you've committed adultery, you are pornographer, homosexual, this and that. Filthiness of the flesh, easy, easy goal, we can see. Filthiness of the spirit, jealousy. No, you can defend 1,000 years. Me jealous at all. Fear. Me fear at all. I trust in God. Psalm what? 34. Is it Psalm 34? I saw the Lord. He delivered me from all my fears. I've been delivered from all my fears. Fear at all. Unfaithful. Me by the grace of God. When I say something, I do it. Oh, yes. Treacherous, unfaithful, me, by the grace of God. By the grace of God, the power of God. Loyalty? What? A faithful man, who can find? I'm here. Yes. Hatred? Me? You can ask even my roommate. I've never had a quarrel with any of my roommates. From this school to this school to this school to this school. All my roommates can tell you the kind of character that I have. Glory to God. Lazy? How? Ask anybody who knows me. I've worked, even fill my palms. Fill my palms. You see, I'm a hardworking lady. My palms are like sackcloth, very rough, from washing, from working, from weeding. There's nothing lazy about me. Yes. Accusations at all. Me? Accuse? Why? Am I the devil? God knows my heart. I cross my heart. That's a word. You don't have to use that word. Accusation? No. Opposition? Me oppose the work of God? God knows my heart. To the glory of God, oppose me. God knew why I took this position. I oppose the work of God. Temptation? I'm a temptation to somebody. Me a temptation? Am I the temptation or he is the temptation? If God would come and take my heart out and show it to you. Filthiness of the spirit. You will not get them to admit Shelley. And so filthiness of the spirit continues and prevails strongly. Me, you today you say that I love money. I joined the church 17 years ago. I've been paying my tithes. Jesus. Jesus, today you say that I love money. Because I have not come full time, you say that I love money. Chachitolomo Sakabaya. You know something? Proverbs 20 verse 6. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. But a faithful man who can find... People who talk about their goodness. You can't get people easily to admit filthiness of the spirit. That is why when it comes to marriages, the men usually lose the battle. Well, I'm talking about Christian marriages, please. Christian marriages. No comment about unbelievers' marriages. Christian. The men usually lose the battle if he is unfaithful and goes to verse. Ah, you see now, you've gone to commit fornication. But the sins of the spirit, the hidden ones, wickedness. Bible speak about wickedness and all malice. Nobody, you can't easily put your finger on it. But when there's something goes on, they say, ah, filthiness of the flesh, we have caught you. I'll tell you something, you can write it down. If you get a humble person and a fornicator, you will find out that you prefer the humble person to anything else. Humble always better. If you have to choose. If you have to choose between people, humble or this, any other fornication, pride, whatever, you choose humble. You watch and see. If you can write it somewhere, then check. With time, you see that proud. You may be the whatever school prefect. With your pride, when you come back, you're looking down like that with your silence. Everybody is afraid of you. So God has a way of purifying the spirit. So that in the end you see that now you see that you are jealous. And you say, yes, I've seen. My jealousy has destroyed me. I never knew I was a jealous person. For 19 years I've been a Christian, but it's now that I've seen that jealousy is my actual problem. It's true. 13 years I've been serving God in full-time ministry. It's now that I've seen that I'm an accuser. I never knew that. When you said that word accusation, I didn't understand it. But today I've seen it. Because some things have to happen before you even see yourself. True or not true? So God allows you to go through things. Pride, you will not know. Sometimes when you love something more than you love God, you don't even know that you love something too much. And God will take you through something and you say, and then you calm down. You say that, hey, it's now that I've seen that. When you say, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, I never knew that my heart was somewhere else. It's true. So I'm just telling that life's experiences, you go through to see the hidden things of your soul, which you will be defending and espousing your goodness. The Bible says charity. You see, if I have all things and I don't have charity or love, I am like a tinkling cymbal, a noisy brass. And it said, charity vaunteth not itself. I'm beginning to like this. I never like it in the King James. I like it in American. But I'm beginning to take an interest in the King James Version because of the meaning. In 1 Corinthians 13 verse 4, it says that charity vaunteth not itself. The word vaunt, it means self-display. Self-display. You know, America says boast. But it's like you show yourself as I'm good. See me. I'm clean. I don't smoke. I don't drink. I don't take drugs. I don't do this. I don't display. I don't do all these. Self-display. It's the word vaunteth. Yeah. So your purification tests. Amen. Now, number 4. Purification tests are to make you zealous. Amen. Amen. And number 5, purification tests are to make you peculiar. These two. This is the second one. It's the second point. So point number 5, point number 6. We are getting to the end. Titus chapter 2, verse 13 and verse 14. Titus chapter 2, verse 13 and verse 14. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who
gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, okay, and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. You see, there are things you need to be purified of so that you become peculiar. And number two, so that you become zealous. So, if you are not purified as a novice, you never become as odd as God wants you to be odd. Let me start with peculiar. This morning I preached from my book, What It Means to Become a Shepherd. I wrote it 20 years ago. And I read it out to the church, those of you who had time to listen to it. You see, when I preached this, what it means to be a shepherd and that kind of thing, people mocked at me. You know, you people, you don't know. Some of you are in a church, so you think everybody is, flows with whatever. People mock and say, what is this? What is this? Shepherd. People used to go to work and they'll ask them, are you a shepherd or a sheep? At Kolebu, they mock the medical students and mock the doctors who come to our church and say, are you a shepherd or a sheep? I hear you. Are you a shepherd or a sheep? During ward rounds, they will mock them and say, are you a shepherd or a sheep? One professor asked a young man who was in our church, what are you doing this weekend? He said, I'm going to church. He said, which church? So, Lighthouse. Lighthouse? That Ward Mills, is he normal? He asked, is he normal? Is he a normal person? Yes. I'm talking about years ago when I was in school. People mock this message of shepherding. But you see, that's the message that today I'm standing and I'm preaching to thousands of people. Over 10,000 people I can see online sometimes after 8 hours of prayer meeting. I can find 10,000 people in different groups online. 10,000 on a weekday. Yes, at 3 a.m. and at 11 o'clock. Different groups of people. But these little messages, you may mock it. But you see, that's the will of God for me. To purify me to become peculiar. If I don't want to accept peculiarity, then I don't want to accept the call of God. If you don't want to be odd, and you don't want to accept being odd, and being strange, being different, and you want to just be just as everybody else is, you can't often be doing the work of God. He said that he might redeem us and purify us until we are a peculiar people. Today, even up today, you can see with the Jews, they are so odd. Yes. They're always strange looking. Go to any town. Only in Ghana, we don't have many Jews. But if you go to a place where there's Jews, go to London, go to Golders Green. When it's Easter time, they don't have Easter discount. They have Passover discount. Passover. You see big shops written Passover discount. Sausages are half price. This and that. Passover. Because everybody here is a Jew. We don't celebrate Easter. We celebrate Passover. What are you talking about? They are peculiar. Peculiar. You want to be like everybody? You want to sing what everybody sings? Say the same words everybody says. When God has called you, and maybe you may be odd in your family, but you see, to be odd is also an achievement. As I told my book and I preached, I said, you people, you don't know these messages, what it means to be a shepherd, or these type of messages, loyalty and anointing. People make fun of me. You may not know, but now you see, it's not so easy to laugh. Sometimes you'll be laughing. And then, have you seen people who are laughing in film? And then they see something. Oh. Then the laugh changes in the middle to fear and terror. Yes. Because you see the churches. You see the shepherds. Shepherds of 5. Shepherds of 20. Shepherds of 30 people. Shepherds of 12. Plenty. Different countries. They are tuning in. You mock it, but now your laughter is changed. You say this, but you see that you can't do anything about it. God has blessed it. It has increased. Don't retreat from being peculiar. It's a purification of a novice to turn you into something odd and strange for him to use you. Don't retreat. Someone said, what are you doing? How do you go to Bible school? How do you do this? How do you do that? Man! He said that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar, strange, odd people that are zealous for good works. If you are a virgin and it's odd in your society to be a virgin, accept it. If it's odd not to drink, accept it. Many years ago, I visited an uncle in England. When I got there, I was being purified to be peculiar. All my cousins, he had 6 children. And all my cousins, some older, some younger, they would mock me and they would laugh at me. They would make fun of me. And my uncle felt there was something wrong with me. He would say, I have to go to a disco. I don't know whether you have discos now. Is it called nightclub? Nightclub. But we used to call it discotheque. For short, we say disco. Yes. Yes. One day he called me. He said, look, put on your clothes. I said, why? Go out. Go to the pub. Go and have a drink. I said, I don't drink. He said, but you are going. You have to go. I changed and I went with my cousin. When we got to the place, here's beer. Here's whiskey. Here's everything. I've not been to one before. Because when I go for prayer walks. Do you understand what I'm saying? I go for prayer walks. I pray in the fields. I roam all the streets walking and praying. That is not now. I was in secondary school. So I sat in the pub. Then they brought the big jug beer for my cousin. And then they brought me, what will you drink? I said, Coke. Fill it. And I sat there in the midst of the smoking, the drinking, because my uncle said I should go and I have to be there. So I was there. Odd man out. What does it mean? God is redeeming you from all iniquity and purifying to himself a peculiar people. Somebody who is strange. Hey, it was not enough. My uncle said, you have to go to a disco, a nightclub. The pub is part one. You must go to a real nightclub. So there was a day, they said they're all going. And that's my first time in a nightclub with my cousins and the family. They were all there. We went, we entered. The light would come on, off, smack with noise. Hey! I sat there, I was speaking in tongues. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Odd. Very odd. Very odd. Yes. Many things happen. Sometimes you'll be there, they'll bring you a girl. They'll bring you a boy. They'll bring you things. Come on. Enjoy yourself. Have a good time. But you are odd. Will you not be odd when God has called you? That's the call of God. Are you listening or you're going home? You can leave if you want. Yes. Do not be tired of being odd. The purification. And you have to survive being odd. Then they took me to a school. And they said, you are coming to this school. I said, me? I'm going back to Achimota school. Why was I going? Because I am going to be part of the scripture union fellowship which I belong to. And I need to be there to be part. They're all my members and they are all waiting for me. He said, no, this is the school you come to. You go to be educated right here in England. I said, I don't want to be here. I don't want to be here. I said that one. I said, no. I've gone to nightclub. I've gone to pub. What again? Then he said, you don't know the type of school. It's a good, it's a very, no, there's nothing like that in Ghana. So he took me to the school and went to see the head, whatever, head of whatever. This is my nephew from Africa. He doesn't know what is a good school. And I brought him here to spend the day in the school. So that I'll see what is a school in England. And he dropped me there and said, stay here. I'll be back in the evening to pick you. When I entered the school, I just looked. I said, oh, I've seen. I just came out of the gate and went to find the nearest Christian bookshop I could find. And I spent my day there. I've seen the school. That's it. I have no interest. When the time came, I said, I'm going back to Ghana. This same uncle, I led him to Christ. I said, say this prayer with me. Forgive me for my sins. I prayed for him when he was 70. I prayed for him when he was 80. I prayed for him when he was 90. The last time I prayed for him, I said, uncle, are you ready for heaven? Are you ready for God? So I pray with him. Pray, let's pray, uncle. Beautiful. Listen, don't be tired or ashamed of being peculiar. Some of you, your greatest thing that you need to be cleansed of is how to be like everybody. You want to be power like everybody. You want your child to go to Montessori school. And be calling you what? The day. That day. That day. That day, are you all right? That day. All right. Instead of what? Da. Instead of da. That day. So he will purify you unto himself, a peculiar people. Zealous. Now, sometimes your zeal will not come until you have been purified. Yes. Do you know why people are not zealous? There is something else there working that is not letting them to be zealous. Yes. Sometimes if you love somebody, the person is not loving you. One day I saw a brother, he said, I don't know the sister. I don't see her love. I said, oh, she has somebody else. He said, how do you know? I said, you wait and see. And surely she had somebody else. Later I came to her, how did you know? How did you know? You are a novice. That's why you didn't know. She has somebody else. That's why her love is like flat. Her flat is what, her love is what we call flatliner. Flatliner, neither up nor down. You say, shh, all flat like this. Any mysterious thing has a mysterious reason. Okay. I'll say it again. Any mysterious thing has a mysterious reason behind it. Wow. And as time goes by, you start to know some of the mysterious reasons that are behind flatliners. Wow. You are in a relationship and you don't feel love. Jump out. I will send you my personal parachute to jump out of that relationship so that you can escape. What are you wasting your time? At this stage, you are questioning whether the person loves you. What will you be questioning over there? Don't be silly and just find a new love. Jump out and take your parachute. Even if you've not put it on, hold it tight and then hold on tight. Just hold on tight and then just move on. Hold on tight. Tell somebody, hold on tight. Zeal, the lack of zeal is there is something else. That's why you never feel sure and you never feel the love. Love is you can feel it. Those who say, oh, no, so I'm Chinese, so my love is different. Let me tell you, whether it is Chinese, you are Indonesian, you are Indian, Yoruba, Nigeria, love is love. We can all feel love. Everybody has the same. That's why love films and all these things, love songs, they have the same effect everywhere. If you sing it here, they translate it across the whole world, it will be selling in every language. Because love is love. Everybody understands and relate with it. The relationship you are in that is not working. There is something else there that is preventing the zeal of the love. You are struggling. I mean, you are saying, somebody's beloved, they've made fried fish for the person. They've made food. You can feel the love. You feel the passion. The person's beating, flowing, beating, flowing, beating, flowing, beating, flowing, beating, flowing. Yours is not beating. Yours is like... Yours is like... You don't feel any pulsations. You don't feel any vibrations. You don't feel any positive pulsations. You don't understand my preaching, you see. All right? So, God is taking us and purifying us so that we become beautiful and amazing children for Him. Amen. Now, number 6 or 7. Purification through painful experiences. Amen. Is sometimes the only way to get rid of sin. Sometimes sin doesn't go with preaching. Oh, yes. Sometimes sin doesn't go preaching, prayer. Oh. How many have seen that sometimes sin doesn't go with preaching, prayer? You heard preaching 1,000 times, whatever. Oh. Purging is sometimes, that is a painful experience. It's somehow the only way to take away certain evils. Psalm 51, verse 5. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity. In sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop. Is that the way you pronounce it? Hyssop or hyssop? He said, you don't even know. I don't even know why I'm asking you. And I shall be clean. Yeah, I don't know why I'm asking people who don't know what I'm asking. Wash me, all right, and I shall be whiter than snow. Yeah, wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. So it's like my mother gave birth to me in sin. Badness. There's something wrong with me and I can't get rid of it. So now I need to be purged. I need a wild, violent experience. You'll be sitting there and you hear the sound. Pow! Somebody runs. Is it an earthquake? No, it is me. I am being purged. Purgings are taking place. How many have ever been in the toilet in the school and you realize that somebody in the room is being purged? You hear the sound. You say, my God, what's happening to this man? Yes. Yes. There are times I've been in school, airports, and you see that somebody is experiencing something. Oh! Hey! It's being paid, it's being cleansed, and the cleansing is taking place at any time. The smell of the pageant is too bad. Yes. So when God is purging you, you see that you become smelly, dirty, horrible, isn't it? When you look back and even as you are in the inner room of purging, you say, I want to dissociate from this place. And even when you are coming out of the room, you hope there's nobody there. Lest they see who was going undergoing this purging. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Amen. Purge me of what? Of my iniquity and my sin. So I tell you, if you don't purge yourself, get ready to be purged. And it's going to be smelly. You see that you can't open the door. When you open the door, you feel embarrassed. Even though it happens to everybody, you realize that Sometimes you stay inside to let the place become quiet. So that you realize that there's now nobody there to see who can cause such a noise. And a smell. The smell is like that underground dungeon. Oh, have you seen that diarrhea smell differently from normal, what do you call it, poo poo? You don't understand what I'm talking about, right? Amen. So purification to take away your sin. Number seven, purification is sometimes the only way to make a novice prayerful. Yes, prayerful. Yeah. Beautiful. Zechariah chapter 13 and verse 9. And I will bring the third part through the fire, and I will refine them as silver is refined, and I will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them, and I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God. So I will bring a third part of them through what? Fire. And I'll refine them as silver is refined. And I'll try them as gold is tried. And what will they do? They will call my name. See, when they've been to the fire, they'll start calling on me. And I will hear them. And I will say, it is my people. And they shall say, the Lord is my God. Before you went to the fire, you won't call on him. You just get up and you are moving. But after you've been to the fire, see, now Onake, you are now prayerful. You say, now you are into prayers. You are into what? Prayers. Before you were not praying. You just wake up and you start moving. You see, when Peter was going to fall down, Jesus said, look, Satan has desired you, but I've prayed for you. If I don't pray for you, you are finished. You become a Satanist. You say you never know Jesus Christ. If you like, don't pray. If Jesus hadn't prayed for Peter, oh, that would have been the end. He was finished. He was finished. Satan has decided to sift you like wheat. You become powder. When you are powder, you see, it means Derek Prince said that when you are sifted, you can't join together again. It's like you can't join with the body. That's why it's 1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1. When he's finished with you, you become separated like that. And it's like you can't join together again. All the joint pieces are powdered into 1-1-1-1 dots. It's like you can't be part of the body. You can't. Peter couldn't have even joined again. He couldn't have. He says, Satan has decided to make you like powder that you can't even join. If I don't pray for you, you are finished. After you've been through certain things, that's when you know that you should go and wait on God. Instead of sitting there and saying that, oh, glory to God. When I open this scripture, I read this book and I just stand there. Things are happening. People are coming. No, you will learn that you need to pray. He said, I will take them through fire. They will become prayerful. They will become prayerful. So all of us who are watching, pastors and people who are Christians, I tell you, prayer is something that you don't let us wait to find out that we need to pray. Yeah, don't wait. Because you don't know what is coming tomorrow. Yeah. What is happening? Nobody knows. Amen. Are you listening? Now, the next one is the purification, all right, is for you to get you ready to be presented with praise and glory and honor. Amen. You're going to be honorable. You're going to be what? Honorable. First Peter chapter 1 and verse 6. Wherein you rejoice. There's a song like that. For though now for a season if need me you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. That the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth. Though it be tried with fire might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Whom having not seen you love. In whom though you have not seen him you believe in. Yea, you rejoice with joy unspeakable, full of glory. Amen. Are you listening? Yes. Although you have heaviness through manifold temptations, the trial of your faith, the testing of your faith is more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire. Might be found unto praise and honor and glory. You see, your faith is tried with fire. And after you have been through fire, you'll be found ready for praise. Now they praise you, then it's real praises and honor and glory. Don't bother to praise anybody now. You want to praise me now? You don't know. You don't know. Want to praise anybody? Don't praise. Sometimes you find out that the person that you praise, you shouldn't have even praised. Sometimes you recommend somebody, you say, later you find out that, it wasn't as I thought. Just as my father told me, it's not as it seems. No, don't bother to praise anybody on earth. He said, when you've been through the fire, that's when we see what you are. When you are tested and you pass the test, when you are pressurized and you pass the test, when you are pushed here, fire, Bible calls it manifold temptations, manifold, multiple types of different pressures and temptations, and you come through, then you know that, yes, you are ready for praise. Until you have been tested, no praises. No medical student is happy when he's in his final year. When I finish going to the manifold temptations and testings, then I know that, yes, I'm out. Before they say, congratulations, you're a doctor now. Until then, manifold temptations, fire, pressures from every corner. Yes, that you'll be found ready for praises and honor. Oh, praises and honor now is not real praises. It's just an imagination. Are you listening? So novices, all novices should take note. Purification is coming on. Amen. Purification number one is what? Put it up there, the points, if you have any points. To humble you, number one. Number two, to purge you, make you white. Number three, to remove impurities from your spirit. Number four, to make you zealous, isn't it? Number five, to make you peculiar. Amen. And number six, purification, to get rid of sin in your life. Isn't it? Yeah. Some things you don't want to stop till it really, you get what I'm saying? It really does what? Pinches you. Sometimes you want to see how far you can go. Purification through painful experiences. Only way to get rid of sin. Number seven. Purification to make you prayerful. And number eight, purification so that you can be presented with praise and honor. You know, many times we are playing with fire. I remember Oral Roberts told a story many years ago. I watched it on Ghana television. There was a time he used to preach every Sunday in Ghana on television. And one day he told a story. I was watching. He said, in those days of cowboys and Indians, they used to drive the stagecoach with horses pulling it. And they would drive up the canyons and up the mountains and down. And one day, there was no driver for one of the stagecoaches, which carry people and goods. And so they put a big sign out on the office. And they said, stagecoach driver wanted. Somebody who drives with the horses and leads and pulls their carriage. So he says several people came to apply for the job. To the job of being the driver of the stagecoach. So the manager, he asked them the same questions. How close to the cliff can you drive? How close? On the cliff, on the mountain road, down is the valley, you fall down to die. And this is the road. How close? He said different people who came to apply for the job gave different answers. One of them said, I can drive 1 foot to the edge. He said, I'm a master. I can keep the wheels 1 foot. Another came and said, I can drive 6 inches. One said, I can drive 18 inches from the side. Another came along and said, I can drive on the line. Hey. Yes. Then another one came and he said, I can only drive 3 feet. He said, I cannot drive nearer than 3 feet. 3 feet is the maximum I can. And he said that, do you know who had the job? The one who could drive on the edge was rejected. The one who could drive 6 inches is like this. 6 inches at top speed. Hey! The one who could drive 1 foot, just 12 inches. They said no. But the man who said, me, I cannot. Oh, I beg you. I can only be here. I don't know how to do this. The magical skills. And no. This if I don't, I don't like the job. The man who had the job is the one who could drive as far from the cliff as possible. You are playing on the side of the cliff. Eh? Playing with your life. Every time to see how far you can go. And God is saying, I see. You want to play with fire. I will show you fire. When you fall down the cliff, that is when you see that. Next time when they are advertising for a job, you say, who can drive? They say, you know something? I don't drive on mountains. If you can give me 4 yards, I don't know how to drive on a mountain. After you've fallen down once and you see that it was through this fire and manifold, my leg was broken, my head, my neck, my every bodily pains. Now I've realized that I cannot go near. That's when you see that you've changed. One day I drove to a certain place with my car. I drove into a big yard. When I drove in, room, and I parked. And I drove out, room. Somebody in the yard called someone and said, how old is your bishop? And he mentioned my age. He said he's not 50. That is why he drove like the way he drove when he came. When he's over 50, he will not drive like that. You see, when you have been through certain things, you don't do certain things. You see that your driving will even change. As if you can't drive. As if your car cannot go fast. As if the engine is spoiled. It's what have you seen it before? It's what have you seen it before? You have seen something what? Huge. I didn't hear you. I said you have seen something huge. Yes. And when you have seen a huge thing, and they say, come and drive at top speed, 80 kilometers, 100 kilometers per hour. I say, you know something, please. I can only drive 40 kilometers. And I can only drive for 4 yards from the distance. Those who can drive can take the job. As for me, I cannot. So today, God is purifying you. He's purifying your life. A lot of things you experience, they are tests. But you see, because of your spirit, it's invisible. Your arguments are a lot. There are things that have to happen for you to see yourself, what is in your spirit. When you see, you say, hey, all this was in me, but I will always argue. Now, how can I argue? Because what is the meaning of what I've done? What is the meaning of this? It has only one meaning. Beautiful. So we are being purified. Amen. We are being changed from being novices into mature. He says, I'll show you a better way. Love, maturity. Amen. Standing, every standing. You don't want to stand?
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Father, thank you for the blessing of today. Thanks for calling us. Thanks for purifying us. Lift your hands to Jesus. Whatever is in your life, through manifold temptations, though you be in heaviness, by the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of our Lord Jesus, whom having not seen, you love, in whom though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Father, we give you praise. Thank you for the manifold testings and the manifold temptations and the testings and purifications that are ongoing in our lives. We give you thanks and we give you praise for the clearances in our soul, the clearances in our lives, as you clear up our lives of everything that makes us proud. And everything that makes us untested novices. Thanks for purging us. Thanks for the violence. Thanks for the tears. Thanks for the experiences. Thanks for everything, Jesus. We love you and we serve you with all our hearts. Thank you for taking us through the fire. Thank you that you want us to be white as wool, white as snow. We give you praise. We give you thanks. We love you, Jesus. And we honor you. Every lifting of hands and thank him. Thank him, he said, for thou shalt see how the Lord thy God took thee through the wilderness these 40 years to know you, to see what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest serve him or no. For you shall serve him with joy, with gladness from the bottom of your heart, for he loves you and he wants to have those who have passed through tests and are proven faithful warriors, proven sons and proven daughters, not just empty braggarts full of words that have no proofs, full of promises that have negative evidence that disproves all their words. But the Lord thy God in the midst of thee shall purify thee and make you his true son, his true daughter, through pain, through purgings, through manifold temptations, through testings, through fire. You shall come through and be called his precious treasure once again. Father, we give you thanks and we give you praise for what you have done. In Jesus' name, we pray with thanksgiving. And everyone said, amen. And as every head is bowed, if you want to give your life to Jesus, please give your life to Jesus now. Say this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, thank you for saving me. Please wash away my sins and make me a new person. I love you, Jesus, and I thank you for all you have done. Please write my name in the book of life. Thank you, Lord, for saving me today. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen and amen.
God bless you for listening to this message. Visit www.daghewardmills.org today for more audio and video messages, information on upcoming events, and so much more. Make sure you subscribe to this podcast to receive new messages every single day. And remember, God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.